I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
You've promised to end birthright citizenship on day one. Is that still your plan?
Yeah, absolutely.
As President-elect Donald Trump vows to end birthright citizenship and carry out the largest mass deportation in U.S. history, we'll speak to Illinois Democratic Congressmember Delia Ramirez, the daughter of Guatemalan immigrants. Then we look at the tragic deaths of two black men who were killed while experiencing mental health crises, the New York street performer and Michael Jackson impersonator Jordan Neely, and the award-winning piano virtuoso Herman Whitfield III. Neely was killed by a white man on a subway train. Whitfield was killed by two Indianapolis police officers. Over the past week, there were acquittals in both cases. We'll speak to Neely's uncle and Whitfield's mother.
I called for help. I wanted an ambulance. I explained that he was having a mental health crisis. And the police came and used force without cause, and they killed our son.
Plus, we'll look at the growing crisis in Haiti after almost 200 people were killed in a massacre in the Cité Soleil neighborhood of Port-au-Prince. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel's military has continued its massive bombing campaign of Syrian military targets with some 480 strikes in just the past 48 hours. Israeli Defense Chief Israel Katz said his forces had destroyed 15 naval vessels, anti-aircraft batteries and weapons factories, and were working to create a so-called sterile zone in southern Syria.
Together with the Prime Minister, I instructed the IDF to establish a sterile defense zone against weapons and terror threats in southern Syria in order to prevent the establishment and organization of terror in Syria and to prevent creating a situation that would be similar to what existed in Lebanon and Gaza before October 7th. We will not allow this. We will not allow threats against the state of Israel.
On Tuesday, Syria's ambassador to the United Nations called on the Security Council to act decisively to end the bombings, which he said targeted civilian and military infrastructure. The UN Special Envoy for Syria, Geir Pedersen, condemned Israel's assault.
We are continuing to see Israeli movements and bombardments into Syrian territory. This needs to stop. This is extremely important.
The UN envoy said the United Nations would consider removing the Syrian armed group HTS from a list of designated terrorist organizations, but only if it supports a government that's inclusive of all communities. On Tuesday, Syria's new caretaker prime minister, Mohammed al-Bashir, met with members of Syria's transitional government, pledging to bring back millions of refugees who fled Syria's 13-year civil war and to keep Syria's public services and institutions running after the ouster of Bashar al-Assad. Meanwhile, human rights groups have confirmed the killing of one of Syria's most prominent opposition activists. The body of Mazen al-Hamada was discovered inside the notorious Sadnaya prison near Damascus, alongside about 40 others in the prison morgue who also showed signs of torture. Israel's continued its relentless attacks across northern and central Gaza, killing dozens of people, including women and children, in the last day. Earlier today, Israeli forces bombed a residential building in Beit Lahia, where displaced families were taking shelter, killing at least 20 people. At least 7 Palestinians, all members of the same family, were killed in a separate Israeli attack on a house in the Nusayrat camp. People who lost loved ones were seen sitting and crying amidst the destruction, with with some victims still trapped under the rubble. This is one of the survivors, Isam al-Hosari.
We were sleeping. We didn't hear the sound of the missile at all. Suddenly, I found myself waking up like this, and I saw the rubble all over me and the children. I found myself trying to remove the rubble and pull out the children, and they were suffocating. I got out of the tent, and as I stepped outside, I saw the people. Bodies everywhere, blood and limbs scattered among the trees.
This all comes as Palestinian health authorities warn dozens of wounded patients receiving care at the Indonesian hospital in northern Gaza are at risk of dying due to lack of water and food. Israel's former defense minister Yoav Gallant has met with President Biden's special envoy for the Middle East and North Africa, Brett McGurk, at the White House. Their meeting Tuesday came just weeks after the International Criminal Court in The Hague issued an arrest warrant for Gallant for crimes against humanity and war crimes committed in Gaza. On Monday evening, the prominent Addis Israel Synagogue in Washington, D.C. canceled a planned event featuring Yoav Gallant amidst protests. Meanwhile, Republican leaders have selected Brian Mast to lead the House Committee on Foreign Affairs. Mast had previously compared Palestinians to Nazis, has said Palestinian civilians are not innocent, and called on Israel to destroy more infrastructure in Gaza. In Sudan, at least 127 people have been killed over the past 2 days as fighting between the Sudanese army and the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces grows more bloody, with the warring sides launching attacks across North Darfur. The army has also intensified airstrikes on regions controlled by the RSF. Meanwhile, RSF fighters have conducted deadly raids on villages, with both sides heavily targeting civilian communities. This is the governor of Khartoum.
This attack, instead of being directed at our heroes on the front lines, is targeted at these innocent civilians in their everyday lives, whether on public transportation or in markets. This is an attack on the people, while wars should be fought on battlefields and with regular forces.
The 20-month war has displaced some 11 million people from their homes and unleashed the world's largest hunger crisis. South Korean police have raided the offices of President Yoon Suk-yeol after his short-lived declaration of martial law last week. The police investigation comes as Yoon has been barred from exiting South Korea while he remains under investigation for committing treason. Separately, South Korea's top prison official said the disgraced former defense minister Kim Young-hoon attempted to end his own life while in custody. Kim was jailed on Sunday after he allegedly recommended imposing martial law. A federal judge in Maryland has suspended a lawsuit against President Trump's pick to lead the Department of Education, which Trump has pledged to shut down. Linda McMahon, a former executive with World Wrestling Entertainment, faces allegations that she and her husband, Vince McMahon, failed to stop a ringside announcer from sexually assaulting young boys in the 1980s and 90s. In more transition news, Republican Senator John Cornyn of Texas said this week he's inclined to vote to confirm Trump's pick to head the FBI, Kash Patel. Patel is a Trump loyalist who's embraced QAnon conspiracy theories, supported the January 6th insurrection, and has called for the FBI's D.C. office to be closed. Meanwhile, a new report by the Justice Department's Inspector General finds the former Trump administration's Department of Justice secretly obtained phone and text message logs of 43 congressional staffers and two members of Congress in 2017 and 18, as prosecutors investigated public leaks of classified government information to the press. Kash Patel was among congressional staffers whose records were seized. The report also found the Trump Justice Department violated its own policies in how it subpoenaed phone and text records from journalists. In climate news, European Union scientists report average global temperatures over the past 16 months have exceeded 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels, marking a grim new milestone in the climate crisis. Last month was the second warmest November ever recorded, with 2024 likely to become the hottest year on record. Here in New York, dozens of climate activists on Tuesday kicked off 3 days of peaceful actions at the state capitol in Albany as they continued to demand New York Governor Kathy Hochul sign legislation to combat the climate crisis. The bill, named the Climate Change Superfund Act, would require large fossil fuel companies to pay $75 billion over 25 years for climate damage repair, resilience, and protection programs. This is one of the activists who participated in a sit-in yesterday.
We're heading into a presidential administration that will do everything in their power to roll back any progress that we've made on climate and continue America's track of being the biggest expander of fossil fuels in the world. Shame!
Shame!
Shame! This is why, more than ever, we need state leadership. But these final weeks are an opportunity for our governor to make a commitment to our generation, to establish a new model for how we deal with climate disasters that makes polluters pay and not taxpayers.
House progressives have called on President Joe Biden to commute the death sentences of the 40 federal prisoners on death row and to resentence them to a prison term. On Tuesday, Congressmembers Ayanna Pressley, Cori Bush, and Adriano Espaillat were joined by death penalty abolitionists on Capitol Hill, where they called on Biden to act before Trump takes office 40 days from now. Congressmember Pressley noted that during his first term, President Trump went on an unprecedented execution spree, ordering the deaths of 13 people in a matter of months, more federal executions than in the prior 70 years combined.
State-sanctioned murder is not justice. And the death penalty is a cruel, racist, and fundamentally flawed punishment that has no place in our society. It is deeply discriminatory and has disproportionately been weaponized against Black, brown, and low-income families for far too long. It is long past time for President Biden to make good on his campaign promise to address the federal death penalty.
A federal judge has blocked grocery chain Kroger's $25 billion merger with Albertsons, siding with the Federal Trade Commission, which called the deal anti-competitive. The FTC had argued the proposed merger to create the largest supermarket chain in the U.S. with some 5,000 stores would give customers already grappling with food costs fewer options for groceries. In related news, President-elect Trump on Tuesday named Andrew Ferguson to lead the Federal Trade Commission. Ferguson is a Republican former congressional aide and former Supreme Court clerk who's pledged to roll back federal oversight of most large U.S. corporations. And in Oslo, Norway, anti-nuclear activists who survived the U.S. atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki have accepted the 2024 Nobel Peace Prize for efforts to achieve a world free of nuclear weapons. Terumi Tanaka, who delivered the acceptance speech on behalf of the grassroots Japanese anti-nuclear group Nihon Hidankyo, warned that nuclear powers, including Russia and Israel, are threatening to break a long-standing taboo against the use of nuclear weapons.
Our movement has undoubtedly played a major role in creating the nuclear taboo. However, there still remains 12,000 nuclear warheads on Earth today, 4,000 of which are operationally deployed, ready for immediate launch. The nuclear superpower, Russia, threatens to use nuclear weapons in its war against Ukraine. And a cabinet member of Israel, in the midst of its unrelenting attacks on Gaza in Palestine, even spoke of the possible use of nuclear arms. In addition to the civilian casualties, I am infinitely saddened and angered that the nuclear taboo threatens to be broken.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We begin today's show with the latest developments in Republican President-elect Donald Trump's promise to carry out the largest deportation campaign in American history when he takes office next month. Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee held a hearing Tuesday on the human and economic toll of Trump's plan, which threatens some 13 million undocumented immigrants. Aaron Reichlin-Melnick with the American Immigration Council was one of the expert witnesses.
Most undocumented immigrants have spent decades living, working, and putting down roots, all at constant risk of deportation. Nearly all are either employed or attending school. Some have permission to work legally. Most do not, putting them at increased risk of exploitation. They are farm workers, meat packers, cooks, waiters, construction workers, factory workers, delivery people, home health aides, nurses, teachers, artists, writers, musicians, entrepreneurs, and yes, even lawyers. Undocumented immigrants are also more than their jobs. They are parents, spouses, partners, brothers and sisters, grandparents and grandchildren, loved ones and friends to millions of U.S. citizens and permanent residents. 5 million U.S. citizen children have at least one undocumented parent. In an average public school classroom of 25 children, at least two have an undocumented immigrant parent at risk of deportation.
Democrats who control the Senate for just a few more weeks called the hearing, but the Senate Judiciary Committee's top Republican, Senator Lindsey Graham, used Tuesday's hearing to support Trump's mass deportation plans.
So, if you're here illegally, get ready to leave. If you're a criminal, we're coming after you first.
This comes as Trump's pick for border czar, Tom Homan, vowed Monday to start mass deportations in Chicago and said he would prosecute the city's Democratic mayor if he impedes them. Homan is meeting Thursday with New York City Mayor Eric Adams on how to, quote, operationalize Trump's mass deportation plans. This comes as Trump has also vowed to end birthright citizenship while falsely claiming the United States is the only country in the world to have such a policy. He spoke Sunday with Kristen Welker of NBC's Meet the Press.
You've promised to end birthright citizenship on day one. Is that still your plan?
Yeah, absolutely.
The 14th Amendment, though, says that, quote, all persons born in the United States are citizens. Can you get around the 14th Amendment with an executive action?
Well, we're going to have to get a change. We maybe have to go back to the people, but we have to end it. We're the only country that has it.
For more, we're joined from the Cannon Rotunda of the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C., by Congressmember Delia Ramirez, Democrat from Illinois. Her district includes Chicago. She's the daughter of Guatemalan immigrants born in the United States, like thousands of other U.S. citizen children whose parents are immigrants. Many of her constituents are the children of immigrants. Congressmember Ramirez, welcome back to Democracy Now! If you can start off by talking about this promise that the mass deportations will begin in Chicago and what will happen to the Chicago mayor.
Yeah. I mean, Tom Homan decided to come not just to Chicago to make those promises, but he came to my very own district. The district of Guatemalan immigrant, daughter of Guatemalan immigrant and congresswoman. And I got to tell you, the level of disrespect is clear. But I will say to you that a number of us have said it very loud and clear. You can come to the third district, you can come to any part of the city in the state of Illinois. In Illinois, we understand the impact and the contributions of immigrants, and we will do everything in our power to protect the families that have created the fabric of our country. I mean, look, I know that he's going to try to target the mayor, the governor, myself, and others. But we also recognize that when he's talking about deporting, he's talking about deporting people who have been here decades, and raised children, put them through college. And it's absolutely unacceptable that he begin thinking about and targeting cities like Chicago, where we understand that we have thrived in the way that we have because of its immigrants.
And what about Homan, who Trump has dubbed the border czar, saying that he would prosecute the city's Democratic mayor if he impedes them? How exactly do you understand at this point people are going to be rounded up?
Yeah, I mean, look. It's really difficult because they keep saying they're going to do this, they're going to do that. He's talking about on day one, he's going to end birthrights for U.S. citizens, and we know that it's constitutional. He can't do that. The reality is what I think he's going to probably attempt to do is attempt to take and deport people who are already in detention centers. I mean, look, if we're talking about people who have a criminal record and have a felony, they're already in order of deportation. Proceedings to be deported out of the country. I have a feeling that what they're going to end up doing is going into detention centers and begin the deportation. But of course, no one no one is safe under Donald Trump. And so I could imagine that they attempt to go to courthouses or where people have appointments, people who are abiding by law every single day, whose only crime, according to Donald Trump, is to have entered this country unauthorized or have oversight a visa because of our broken immigration system. In the state of Illinois, we passed legislation years ago, actually, in his first presidency, stating that in the state of Illinois, through the Trust Act, we would not have ICE working closely with local police to deport families and individuals whose only crime is to be undocumented in this country. I suspect that we will continue to do that work under Governor Pritzker and under Mayor Johnson to ensure that families and individuals are protected in a time where we know that we're trying to understand the jurisdictions of what he can and can't do. Clearly, Donald Trump doesn't know what he can and can't do. And so really making sure that people like me, a daughter of immigrants, is protecting them and is working with organizations and legal organizations to do so will be incredibly important in this moment.
Congressmember Ramirez, can you talk about your own family? And are you afraid?
Well, look, Amy, up until 2 months ago, my husband was a DACA recipient in this country since the age of 14, someone who has a bachelor's degree in psychology with a real focus on early child development, someone who has dedicated his life to this country and I would argue is as American as any other American and U.S. citizen. He got the email that so many people have been anxiously waiting from USCIS saying you are finally a green card holder. That has made me feel a little better. But that's not the reality for my uncle and so many people in this country, right, that are so worried that in their every single day life, as they're working in the diner or as they're working in construction or as they're taking their children to school, that at any moment they could be stopped by ICE and deported from the country that they have given so much to and ripped apart from their children. And the idea that you have Tom Homan or Donald Trump talking about, well, if the U.S. citizen children are worried about being separated, then why don't they get deported themselves too? Well, first of all, you can't deport U.S. citizens. But the reality that he would actually say that a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, a baby should be ripped from the hands, from the arms of their mother, is to me the most un-American and certainly the most evil.
Birthright citizenship is in the Constitution. How would President Trump get around that?
Well, look, first of all, this whole day one thing he likes to say so that he can get all the hits he can is ridiculous. It is a constitutional right for anyone born in this country to have U.S. citizenship. And as you heard previously, it is the 14th Amendment. He can't get around the 14th Amendment. He would have to go to the Supreme Court, which in this case, unfortunately, he has already stacked with his very conservative, only do whatever Donald Trump says, Supreme Court justices. But that means he can't do it on day one. And if he wanted to do it through congressional action, because in the House he has one vote majority, first of all, it would be very difficult, even if it was just by one vote. But, Amy, it would require a constitutional amendment that requires 2/3 votes for that constitutional amendment. And there is no world that this Congress would give him those numbers. So, look, it won't happen on day one. But the idea that he would say this is so un-American, unconstitutional, and undemocratic. Think about it. Millions of us. We are doctors, service members, members of Congress, and you're saying you're going to take their citizenship away from them? We should be asking ourselves as the American people, first U.S. citizens who are first generation, then who is next? Who is American enough for Donald Trump?
So let's talk about who's next. During a recent interview on 60 Minutes, Trump's pick to be border czar, Tom Homan, said the mass deportation campaign could also target U.S.-born children born to undocumented parents. He was being interviewed by Cecilia Vega.
We have seen one estimate that says it would cost $88 billion to deport 1 million people a year.
I don't know if that's accurate or not.
Is that what American taxpayers should expect?
What price do you put on national security? Is that worth it?
Is there a way to carry out mass deportation without separating families?
Of course there is. Families can be deported together.
So there is Homan saying, of course, there's a way not to separate families that are of that are both legally in the United States and not just deport them all.
Amy, it's so interesting, right, and hypocritical. Tom Homan's ancestors are not originally from this area, from this region, from the United States. When his ancestors came, and I'm sure the Statue of Liberty was welcoming them, they didn't have to go through a bunch of paperwork to enter this country. Some would argue that in that time, borders were very different. Some would even define it as even more open borders. Give me your tired. Give me your hungry. And we will take them in and we'll make this country the beautiful country it is. It is cynical to me for this man to be the same man that says he represents a future president that cares about families and saying, simple, have them get deported with their parents. They have known nothing else, these children, than the United States as their country. They are as American as Tom is, as American as Tom's parents are, as American as Tom's family is, and yet here he is, simple. Just go ahead and have him deported. This is a moment for Democrats and for people who remember how this country's economic opportunities were built, those that perhaps their parents came in the early 1900s, Italian Americans to New York, or those that came 25, 30 years ago or now, to ask themselves, what kind of country are we? Are we going to say that children whose country is the United States, we're going to send them to go die in a country that they don't know? This is a moment for us to be fearless and courageous, to take a stand for every single person that Donald Trump is attacking. If it's trans kids, if it's women, if it's immigrants, because he's coming for every one of us that he believes and he deems not American enough.
What can President Biden do in these last weeks of his administration that would protect undocumented immigrants?
Yeah. Well, look, I think there's a number of things and a number of executive orders that you perhaps have heard from a number of advocacy groups that have been sent to him. There's renewals of DACA that could be done. People who have DACA and maybe their appointment is in February or March. Why not just make sure that the renewal, if all the paperwork is correct, there is no criminal record. By the way, if you are a DACA recipient, you have to have a clean record, no criminal background. Already we vet all those things. Give those automatic renewals. Extend protections for people who are already on parole. Extend the TPS for those that are about to have their TPS expire. There's a number of things we could be doing. We still have the White House. And if I'm President Biden, I am working every breathing moment between now and the change of power to protect as many Americans as I possibly could.
Well, you're not President Biden, so do you know what he is actually doing?
I am not President Biden. I am very clear and aware of that. Look, I understand that they are looking at a number of things. I don't have clear direction on what those are and what has been, in fact, approved. But I'll guarantee you, Amy, I'm calling his office and I'm calling the Secretary of Homeland on a regular every single day. There is no holiday party here that I'm interested in. I am interested in making sure that we're extending the protections to as many people as we can, as we still have the White House and the Senate.
Congressmember Delia Ramirez, Democratic Congressmember from Illinois, the daughter of Guatemalan immigrants. Thanks so much for joining us from the Capitol.
Thank you, Amy.
Coming up, we look at the growing crisis in Haiti after almost 200 people were massacred in Cité Soleil, a neighborhood of Port-au-Prince, the capital. Then we'll be joined by two family members of two black men who were killed, one by a white vigilante on the subways of New York, another by two Indianapolis police officers. In the trials of all of these men, they were acquitted. Stay with us.
Haïti chéri, bi bon pays passé ou nan point. Fòk mwen te kite ou, pou mwen te kapab konprann valè. Fòk mwen te lese ou, pou mwen te kapab apresye ou. Pou mwen santi vreman tout sa ou peye pou mwen. Haïti chéri, bi bon pays passé ou nan point. Faut moi te quitter ou moins te capable comprendre valeur. Faut moi te laisser ou moins te capable apprécier. Pour me sentir vraiment